everyone. Welcome back.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in again. We hope you're doing well. It's a disgusting gray ice cold Thursday in Vienna.
Yeah, winter is finally here. We've been dreading it, but
and Lola has had the very typical, in my opinion, very typical Viennese ice bowel problems where her hot water is not working and the people who fix it are like proposing to come in a couple weeks. And you're like, oh, it's actually urgent.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Ooh.
There's like this weird thing about Vienna that everything is so organized, but it's organized to the point of like they can't do anything spontaneously.
Yeah.
They can't just like come over and fix something.
Very true.
Because it's not in the schedule.
Yes. I remember I had a heating problem like a year ago, and I also called them and I said, you know, my heating is not working, my hot water is not working, and it was already end October. And they were like, no problem. We will come by. Let's make an appointment. How do you feel about January? January something something. And I was like, nope.
That does not work.
It's I'm so busy that day.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah. It
really blows my mind.
But actually with the cold weather and with the start of the season, we kind of feel like that we have both observed people are doing worse mentally. Like it's the start of the winter depression, I guess you can say. And just I feel like in my environment and also myself, many people have been kind of struggling or been overwhelmed or just depressed, anxious, just not in a good mood. And I know for you, I think it's the same.
Yeah, definitely. And it sounds so like it almost sounds like we're talking about zodiac signs when we talk about like the season changing. But it's such a real thing. Like the season changes, especially this one. I think when it goes from, I don't know, I don't really believe that there is a fall. Because it's usually for me, it's like it goes from summer to winter. There's like the fall in between, it's so short, it's like what, 1 month? Not technically, but I think just how it feels.
Yeah.
And I feel like it really is like a shock to the system. And it's really funny. It's not funny, but I was also texting my mom about it because somebody from New York, they committed suicide, and I told my mom and she said, yeah, when the seasons change, mentally ill people don't do well. And I thought it was such a like cold statement because I was just like, okay. But it's really true.
Mm.
And not just mentally ill people, I think everybody.
Yeah, true. I wonder why that is. I mean, of course, the weather changes and you're more inside, and also the lack of the sun obviously makes a big difference and stuff. But I also kind of think that the seasonal change kind of reflects something, a change that's happening on the inside. I don't know. I think it always goes from, for me at least, from a more like spontaneous summer life, even though I was also working in the summer and stuff, but it's still life feels more spontaneous, more easy, more loose to like just winter. And it's like, shit, we're going to have this shit for the next like 6 months or something. I don't know. There is something that reflects on it, I feel like, on the inside.
Yeah, it probably also has to do with like the new year coming. It's kind of like the end of the year. And I guess unconsciously you're kind of reflecting on the whole year that passed because you're preparing for, not everybody celebrates Christmas, but usually New Year's is like something that happens almost everywhere. And or even if you don't have a Christmas, there's something that's kind of equivalent. And I think when everything is kind of coming together and you're finishing up the year, it's very overwhelming, and it all kind of comes at you, and you don't think about it. I don't think you think about it consciously, but especially this year and the year before, and I don't even know if it was the year before that. When did it start? it's been kind of shit because it's so limited. Like, of course you achieve things and, or maybe you didn't, but the things that you could have done or the experience that like that you could have had is so limited. And I think it is, I know I posted about disappointment like yesterday. It's very disappointing. I think especially for people I know like you and me too, like we enjoy traveling and going to places and doing things that are very spontaneous, but I think in these times there's so much planning that you have to do.
Yeah.
And you don't have so many options. I think it's hard to understand fully that it's not in our control. And when I think about last year, I think like, well, I didn't really go anywhere. I didn't really do so many things that I usually enjoy doing. And it's kind of depressing.
It is. And we were just talking before about how there are just phases, for example, like now, where you just might not feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can speak for myself, but I know you've had the same. For the last, like, 2 weeks, I've really not been feeling well. I've been feeling really shit. And I kind of know why. And these are reasons that I actually don't want to and cannot go into. But it's not that it's a causal explanation. You know what I mean? It's not like one thing that happened and I know why. It's a bunch of small things kind of that are piling up. And we were talking about how it's so important to know, to understand and accept that sometimes you're just feeling shit and it actually doesn't matter why.
Yeah.
And this may sound really... I'm contradictory to everything we kind of talk about here on the podcast because we both come from a background of more psychoanalytic training and experience where it is about kind of trying to understand where problems come from, etc. Even though at the end of the day, all you do is also make hypotheses because you can never really yeah. say where something comes from. But at the same time, it's also just important, I think, that sometimes you feel like shit and you don't overanalyze it. For example, like this, like now, that I know it doesn't matter why I'm feeling this way. I want to try to put more emphasis on what can I do mm-hmm. that makes me feel better. And not necessarily digging myself into all these questions. Oh, where is this coming from, etc. Like, I have assumptions, I have ideas. But that's fine. I don't need to go into it more. I just want to feel better and spend more time doing things that I enjoy or things that I can do to make me feel better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think especially in these cases where you have those days, I'm sure everybody is very familiar with them, where you just kind of, you're sitting there and you just feel like crying. You really have to understand the fact that the reasons that you have, like you said, you know where it's coming from, vaguely. If it were a different time and those same things were happening, you still, it doesn't mean that you would feel the same way. Like, it could be that these circumstances are exactly the same, but it's 3 months ago and you could be completely fine. It's not always like this cause and effect thing, which I think we spend a lot of time putting out into the world and saying that that is the case, but it's really not. And I think that's a big part of self-awareness, which we also constantly talk about and say how important it is. That's a very important part of self-awareness that I don't think is really understood. Like, it takes a lot of self-awareness to tell yourself that I'm upset right now and I don't know exactly why. And that's okay. And I think in that case, the self-awareness is about just understanding how you feel, understanding that you are not really, really aware of how you feel, and like stopping it at that, especially because we were talking about this before too. when you're in, I would say it's a crisis. Like when you're in a crisis and you're feeling really low, I don't think it's the time to analyze anything. Like for me, analyzing is always super helpful when you're in a place where like you have more stability and you have the capacity to analyze. But when the time actually comes where you're feeling that low, it's just, it's not like, it's almost not appropriate.
I absolutely agree. And I think it's just very easy to also understand that by imagining a friend calls you with a crisis, you know, like they call you and they're like, this and this happened. I don't know. My 8-year relationship just ended. This mm-hmm. is fucked up. You would never say, oh, why do you think you feel that way?
Mm-hmm. Or let's figure out what...
Let's figure out what happened like years ago, what happened within you. No, you would try to calm them down. As you said, first, it's always like stabilization when someone is in a crisis. And then you can look into it. But I totally agree. I think there are phases. I think the big question is always, and this is regarding the question to analyze or not to analyze. Mm-hmm. That's the question. I think it's a big part of that is what good will it do?
Like, yeah.
Because if you keep finding yourself in these crises over and over again, like regularly, you see a pattern or there's a certain degree of suffering and you really wonder, you know, oh shit, this is something I want to figure out. This is something that I know. This is not the first time this is happening, etc. Then maybe it's good in the long haul to analyze it, to find out what's going on in these situations. But everyone feels shit, and our health generally, but also especially our mental health and our mental state is not linear. We don't always feel good or bad or anything. It's like constantly up and down, and we feel all the feelings. And so I think sometimes it will not do you any good to analyze why you're feeling shit now. But as you rather said, seeing it more of a crisis and being like, this is what I feel now, and it's just about me trying to feel better or doing stuff for myself that makes me feel good, whatever. And it's not always about overanalyzing it, for sure.
And yeah, this is so, and you also, you can't. Like, you can't, if when you're feeling so bad, you can't clearly understand anything. And whatever you try to analyze is going to come from, like, a point of your emotions or how you're feeling. And it's not going to be, like, I don't think it's going to be accurate. It's just going to be clouded by, like, all of your negative feelings. So whatever comes out of it, I don't think is going to be even useful for you.
Yeah. I also observed something that I find pretty interesting is that in these last 2 weeks, I've really had struggles to tell people about this because I feel like my feelings are not valid.
Mm.
And I feel like this is something I usually don't have. And this is also very opposite to what I quote unquote preach to others, because if friends told me that, or anyone I knew also in professional life would tell me that, I would always say, you know, all feelings are valid and feelings are not rational. Sometimes you just feel shit and sometimes you feel good. And as we said, there's not always an explanation for it. And it is what it is. And it's important to accept that and to understand that. However, I've noticed on myself that I've almost wanted to have a reason, and mm-hmm. I mean like one specific reason that also objectively I feel like people would understand when I say I've been feeling shit because da 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 this and this happened, which I don't have.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm almost scared to share or to be honest about this with many people because I'm worried that they would think that that's not valid, or that they would be confused or ask me, which, and I haven't made this experience because I haven't shared it so much, and I'm sure most people wouldn't, but maybe also some would just ask, you know, oh, but why?
Yeah.
And then you would tell them, and maybe in my head they would think, oh, but that's all, you know what I mean? Or they would start giving advice or tips on what to do, and that's not what I want. I just want to be contained. I just want people to be empathetic and be like, oh shit, I get it. Yeah, that sucks. What we talked about last week, I guess.
Yeah, that's the problem when you decide not to go into it, or you decide to kind of give yourself a break and just try to feel better. It's hard when you want to have a conversation with somebody about how you feel when there's no explanation, because then there is no conversation, really. It's just a statement. And I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with just having like a statement in the air without like a discussion. So I think it's just like a natural, it's how we naturally converse, and I can understand how it might be hard for the other person to do something with that statement, because the first thing that we do naturally is try to make sense of it or try to come up with a solution. But yeah, I think something that I definitely need to practice as well is just being honest about how I feel, and also figuring out how to tell people what I need, because they can't read our minds. And of course, maybe they think that we want a solution, or they think that we need help because we are telling them. But I think the real task is not really being honest how you feel, because I think you're pretty like good at that, and I think I am too, but the task is like telling people what you need from them, and that's something that I am absolutely terrible at.
Very true. I am as well. I was just thinking about this, and it's really interesting now that I think about it. This is almost like a life analysis, because I'm like just really associating now what comes into my mind. But you know what I have? When I often know, let's even say that you're sick, like really physically sick, and you're at home.
Yeah.
And you know that it would be really good if someone brought you soup, mm-hmm. or whatever. And I know that, yet I don't want to say it. Because then I think I will have to owe them something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that then they come over and bring me soup, and that I have to invite them to hang out. Or have to be like, oh, thank you so much. Do you want to stay for a coffee? Even though I really don't want to.
Yeah.
This is like a really weird thought, but there's definitely some sort of also guilt in that. Asking someone for help, I guess, or just asking someone for what you need. And maybe also sometimes you don't know what you need.
And definitely. That's
also what makes it hard to ask for it.
But I think it's not so like speculative. It's unfortunately like that's the nature of relationships. And that's something that I think our analyst or our therapist has definitely told me when I did something for somebody in the past and I was disappointed by whatever happened afterwards. And he would ask me, like, well, what were you expecting in return? And even when you think that you don't expect anything in return, I think every single person, there's no such thing as purely doing something to help. Like, it doesn't mean that it's coming from a bad place or that you don't really want to help somebody. But when you do something for somebody, you always have an expectation of something. Maybe even your expectation is just them to be grateful. And that's scary, because I also have the same thing. I don't want anybody to expect anything from me. And definitely has to do with, I don't know, the way that we grew up probably, or the experiences that we had as children. But I get really, really like almost triggered when I feel like somebody expects something from me and it's not my choice.
Right. I was also just thinking, because my therapist said something similar or along those lines to me, that really changed the way I think, which I really like and started to implement in my life sometimes when I feel like it's helpful. is the question of when you're about to do something or when you want something, generally, the question of why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And this is very often related to relationships of any sort. I give you an example of where this came up. So a while ago, I was dating someone and we stopped dating. I got rejected and it was really hurtful. And it was also in this very classical 21st century just ghosting manner.
Yeah.
And then we did have contact shortly and they apologized. He apologized. But I really thought it would be appropriate to meet. I really wanted to meet this person and kind of have not like a long ass conversation about what happened, because it wasn't like a long relationship, but I felt like he owed me a personal apology.
Yeah.
Not one over text or something. And I talked about this in my therapy. And I was just really unsettled. And I was like, this is not okay. This is not how you treat people. I feel like I'm being treated like shit. And I feel like this person owes me an apology. And I want to meet them. And I think after what he did, this is something I can also ask for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is fair. And my therapist just said, why do you want to meet him?
Yeah.
And I repeated and I said, because he owes me an apology. And I feel like after this shitty behavior, this is the least he can do. And don't get me wrong, I still think that this would have been appropriate, but my therapist, I think, made a really good point in saying, no, be really honest to yourself. Why do you want to meet him? Isn't it because you want to bargain?
Yeah.
Because you kind of want to show him in person that you're great, or maybe kind of start having almost a discussion about if this couldn't still be anything, da da da. So it's true. It was not because I just wanted an apology. It was because I wanted to see him. I maybe wanted to make him feel bad.
Yeah.
I wanted da da da. And that question kind of really changed my life in a really weird way. So sometimes now when I'm about to do something or ask for something, I'm really wondering, why am I doing this? What do I want out of it? And very often, in the most cases, it helps me to kind of step back from that, and in a good sense.
Yeah.
To be like, you know what? I actually don't need this. This will not do me any good.
Yeah. And it reminds me of something that I do, which is so lame. But it's really something that I do, and I like to think that it's because I'm such a giving and generous person, but it's not the case, and that's fine, because nobody is. Like, nobody is purely generous just because they love being generous. Whenever I start dating someone or I like somebody, the first thing I want to do is, like, give them a gift. Right away. Like, I really like someone and I'm like, ooh, what could I give them? And it's really just like I want to buy somebody's affection. It's so ridiculous. And when I think about why, of course I know why. It's because my dad used to send us gifts when he missed a birthday, or he wasn't around much, but he always showed his affection with money. And those gifts were like the highlight of my days and years. And I would be so excited. And it brought so much joy to me when I received those gifts, because I felt loved, because that's how he showed that he loved us. And I constantly want to buy people gifts. And it's something that I really had to think about and I had to stop doing, because when I bought somebody that gift, I expected them to care about me in return. And that's not reality.
Yeah, and I think this is just a really good thing to think about. It's an interesting part of, like, maybe self-awareness, to think about what are the things that I do and why do I do them? And what do I want out of it?
But it's also, it sounds like it's the opposite of what we were just talking about, but I think it's actually, like, it really goes along with it. Because, as you said before, like, Instead of taking action and doing something, you just step back and kind of refrain from the, like, not your intuitive thoughts, but you refrain from habits or things that you would usually do. And I think that's really like the key of becoming self-aware slowly, because it's something that you've discovered over time. And you know also when you feel like shit, because you've worked on all these things, you know things like, you know what, when I'm feeling like shit, I just need to stay in bed for a day.
Totally. I think this is, self-awareness is not always analyzing everything. It's not always understanding everything. It's actually also knowing when to not do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I just know this example from yoga. When you've, if you've ever been to a yoga class, you will know that they often say, or that they hopefully say, know when to back out.
Yeah.
You don't always want to go deeper. You also need to know when are the days, what are the poses, whatever, that you cannot or don't want to go deeper in that day.
And I think that's such an important thing that I've been reading about actually a lot, is like this term that we have, which is like being lazy. It's so negative, and it's actually like hurtful when you think of yourself as lazy or when you don't achieve what you wanted to. And it's also part of self-awareness to know when it's just not the time to be productive. You need to, and it's also, when I say productive, I don't mean like doing work for university or going to your job. Sometimes it's not the time to meet friends. Sometimes it's not the time to write papers. Or sometimes you have an assignment due and you understand how you're feeling and you know what you need and you want to go out and have a drink. Like, you need to really, really listen to yourself. And it's not being lazy or being irresponsible. It's just what you need in that moment. And one day, I promise you, makes no difference in the rest of your year or even your month.
Also connected to this is something that we talked about before, and also something that I posted the other day on our account on Instagram. If you don't follow us, by the way, my therapist said dot podcast on Instagram, check it out. But that psychoanalysis is not for everyone.
Yeah.
And not everyone needs to go to psychoanalysis, and not everyone needs to go to therapy. And I don't know about you, but actually I do. I'm sorry. I know that we both get asked a lot if we think that everyone should go to therapy, or does everyone have to go to therapy at some point in their life? And I always say, no, I really don't think so. I think that everyone could benefit from therapy, but it doesn't mean that everyone has to go to therapy, because there are also other ways of doing things for oneself that have a therapeutic effect.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think it's really about the degree of suffering that you have, and suffering is subjective. So it's not something that I can tell you, you know, when it's time for you to go to therapy. That is something I think that should come from you. But also, I think, again, it's about this question of, will this benefit me right now? And there's also a big emphasis on this, because just because you don't want to or cannot go to therapy right now, or you feel like you're not interested in it or something, doesn't mean that that's going to be for the rest of your life. You know, maybe therapy is only beneficial for you at a certain phase in your life, or psychoanalysis at a certain age or phase or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not a, I truly believe that it's not something that everyone has to do, even though I would want, obviously, everyone to have the motivation and interest. But I also completely understand that people are not interested in it, or just say that they don't need it because they have other methods of also dealing with this.
That's the really interesting thing about therapy, which I think a lot of psychoanalysts and people in our specific, like, field have a hard time with.
Yeah, we will get so much shit for saying this.
Yeah, but you know, there's so much research about therapy, and I remember we did like a whole class on this. There's so much research that proves that therapy works, but there is no research that proves that one therapy works. It's always, always the same outcome. When there's research done on different therapy methods, they always have, if it's not the same exact, like, not recovery rate, but result, it doesn't matter which modality you're in. It really doesn't make a difference. Like, what matters is that you're in some type of therapy, and what matters is that it's what you're interested in. And to me, psychoanalysis, it takes interest. It takes somebody wanting to specifically do psychoanalysis because it's something that they're interested in. It doesn't mean it's better. It doesn't mean it's going to work better for them. And it's actually the opposite. If you don't like psychoanalysis, if you don't agree with it, it's not going to work for you. And there are so many other ways to have the same experience and have the same effect by just finding something else that resonates with you more.
Yeah, and I think we all know this phrase, and we've probably said it ourselves, da-da-da is my therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about it. It's very often people who work out a lot or do some sort of physical exercise or yoga or something, at least in my experience, I very often hear that people say, like, oh, going to the gym is my therapy, or doing yoga is my therapy. And by no means do I say that it's the same, but I believe these people when they say that, and I know what they mean, that they kind of can put their energy into this activity, whatever it is, and it helps them center themselves and it helps them ground themselves. And again, I'm saying that they say this is my therapy, they're not saying this is my analysis, because obviously that's something different. But yeah, if we consider therapy as just a space where you can clear your head and kind of find your grounding and be more centered and hopefully leave feeling a little bit relieved because you kind of put your shit onto someone else for a little bit.
Yeah.
Then I totally agree that everyone has also other ways of doing their own quote-unquote therapy. And I think that's a very important part of our lives, is finding something, and whatever that is, that doesn't need to be something like exercising. It could be lying in bed and watching TV. Honestly, if that helps you calm down and feel better, go for it.
Or if you do like a movement therapy and you feel like a complete weirdo and it's like what hippies do, but it makes you happy and you feel like you're changing in a positive way, then like keep doing it. Really, like, it doesn't matter. And to me, I think especially hearing about, I don't work with patients, but especially about hearing your experience and other friends' experiences, the type of therapy that you choose is like the type of books that you like to read. It really has to be something that that interests you.
Yeah, it does. And also you have to really just click with the person, with the therapist. Because if you don't like someone, how are you supposed to trust them with your story, with your problems, with your thoughts, whatever? But in that sense, again, I do believe, and obviously we have a podcast about therapy, so we are big fans of therapy. Don't get that wrong. And we do think that everyone could benefit from it at some point in their life. But that doesn't mean that everyone has to go to therapy right now.
Yeah, and just to like disclose something, like, I'm not in therapy right now. And I was for like a few years. It helped me tremendously. Like, I really, really think I'm a completely different person. I mean, I'm the same person, but I really have changed a lot. Not in who I am, that sounds scary, but just in my behavior and the way that I deal with things. And I'm so thankful that I got the opportunity to do it. But it also takes a lot of strength and like knowledge to understand when it's enough. And that's fine. You don't need to like prove anything or be there for a certain amount of time or achieve a certain amount of things in therapy. When you feel like it's enough, stop.
Totally. I absolutely agree. And this is also as a client or patient or whatever you want to call it, as someone who goes to therapy, this is also your call.
Yeah.
It's your call to say when you want to end therapy. And coming from the other side, I would suggest that you have a session with your therapist where you talk about this, and that it's kind of like a more like a slow process of ending the therapy rather than an abrupt one, because it's also nice to like wrap it up.
Yeah.
And maybe it is also connected to experiences of other, you know, endings in your life. So there is a big value in this part of the process. But at the end of the day, when you say that you want to end therapy, then you can end therapy. Like, that's completely your call.
Yeah, and it does not matter what your therapist says, because of course your therapist wants you to continue. You have to understand that
for them... at least analysts.
Yes, definitely.
Because other therapy methods work differently, and there you don't have that many sessions.
But I think especially if you're in psychoanalysis, you will feel pressure to stay, but you're paying them for a service, and when you feel like you don't want that service anymore, like, it's completely your decision to stop, and you don't have to fully stop. You can also take a break.
Like, yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
I have taken a break.
I've taken many.
Yeah, and it was really good at the time. And again, it was something I felt quite intuitively, and it was fine. It was more than fine. It was actually great, and it really helped also the therapy afterwards.
Definitely. And I think that's a big positive of therapists too, because, you know, it's their profession, and they've gone through these things many times. So when I took breaks, I also thought sometimes like, I'm not going back. I really don't want to do this anymore. But then I came to a certain time in my life or a phase or even an event that happened, and I knew I could always call my therapist and go back. It's not like a permanent decision that you have to make.
Yeah. So in that sense, to this question of should everyone go to therapy, I would say no. But also, I just think that it's always better to lead by example. Because of course, I would want people to be interested in therapy or try it out at some point in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of telling them, yeah, you should go to therapy, I would be more understated, you know what I mean? And just tell them genuinely about the benefits that I've experienced and maybe related to their situation, and kind of motivate them in that way. You know what I mean? Instead of just being quite dogmatic and being like, no, therapy is the only way you should go. Because it's not. It's really not.
And then you also kind of have a false start because you think it's something that you should be doing.
Mm.
And it's, again, like the one thing that I really learned, especially from psychoanalysis, is that you should do it if you want to. But if you don't, I don't think you're going to benefit.
Yeah, and there is no right or wrong in doing therapy. There is no right or wrong way to do therapy. There really isn't. There are no rules in therapy, which is the beauty of it, but which is also something that many people are very insecure when they start therapy, because they think, like, am I supposed to be here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I right for this? What am I supposed to do here? Etc. There's no right or wrong way to it. There's no rules. So maybe to, like, sum up this episode... we've been feeling like crap.
Like, which you can probably hear.
Which you might be able to hear. It's just been rough. And you know what? Maybe it will continue to be rough for a few more weeks or months or whatever. It doesn't matter. Again, coming back to this, it doesn't matter also why that is. It is what it is, and it's fine. And it's a phase, and health, mental health, your state of thoughts and emotions is not linear, and it's not going to be the same always. So just take it easy.
Yeah.
And that's also what I'm trying to keep telling myself. Just take it easy.
Yes, definitely. Take care of yourself. And you know what? Bella Hadid is also feeling like crap. So.
Oh my God, yes. Lola showed me this on her Instagram. Guys, fun fact about us. We're really into pop culture. And Lola and I are always like discussing all the celebrities and who's dating who. And Lola told me that Bella Hadid shared this thing on her Instagram where she really opened up and just like crying. And we were both like, that's great that she shows this.
It is. And it's actually, usually when I see like celebrity mental health posts, I get annoyed and I think it's stupid. Sorry. because it doesn't feel genuine. But that was like a really, I think also perfect timing for how I'm feeling right now. It's nice to know that somebody feels like shit for no reason. And I think that is something that we need to start popularizing instead of having like, oh, I suffer. I mean, both are very valid and very important, but I think all we see right now, especially because we have a podcast and we have on our podcast Instagram, most of the accounts that we see are related to mental health. Every single post is always connected to a pathology. So it's like living with depression, how to deal with anxiety. It's always these like concrete things that people have, like destigmatizing mental health. But it's never just like, you know what? Like, I fucking feel like shit.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for it. And I think that is something that we should really, really work on.
I agree. So, guys, we hope that you're not feeling like shit.
But if you are...
If you are, we are as well. And that's fine. And it's all good.
It's all good. Watch a movie. Get some ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
It's really fine.
Yeah.
It happens. Just enjoy, like, it sounds stupid, but enjoy feeling like shit for a few days. It's gonna be fine.
Exactly. And I am really looking forward to the weekend because I want to get dressed up and go out with you for a drink.
We're gonna look like supermodels.
As always.
As my mom says, whenever she makes me try on her clothes, I try something on and then I walk out and she goes, it's stunning. So, Carla, I want you to say that to me when we meet up.
Oh, yes, we will. And guys, if you ever run into Lola or me on the streets, please say this. Like, imagine I'm like in sweatpants at Billa and yes. Someone is like, you look incredible. I think we should just say that to people.
Yeah, I think so too. And... if you want to hang out this weekend.
Well, no. This podcast is going to be up also later.
True.
It's too late anyway. The ship has sailed.
Enjoy your weekend. Oh, no, sorry. Enjoy your next weekend. And we hope you're all doing okay. And we're here for you.
Yes. As always, let us know what you thought of this episode, things you want to hear, etc. And tune in again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.